Today's daf is daf mem tes, but we'll begin on the bottom of mem ches amud beis. Tana. Gemara says Tana Masar. We're talking about the din of if the father is moser his bas to the shluchei bal or different scenarios like that. What exactly is the status? Is there a considered marriage at that point, and which halachas are affected by that? So the Braisa says Tana Masar ha'av l'shluchei bal. The father gives over the daughter to the shluchei bal, vizinsa, and in the interim she's mezaneh. Halacha is hareza zu bechenek. She gets chenek. So, as we've mentioned in the past, a non-marasa, if she's only in the engagement period, so the din is skila, if she's eshes ish, if she's mamish married, in nesua, she gets chener. So we see the Gemara Paskins here, that if she's the interim, she hasn't yet married, she hasn't gone to chuppah yet, but she has left the house already, she's somewhere in the middle, in limbo, she's already considered an eshes ish, and gets chenek, which is a lesser punishment than that of skila.
Based on this Mishnah.
Based on this Braisa, right. So the Gemara, Tana is a Braisa. When there are two nuns, it's usually a Mishnah, like Tanina. And if it's one nun, it's usually a Braisa. So the Gemara says, how do we know this to be true? Amar Rabbi Ami Barchama Amar Kra, Lizanos Beis Avia, says the Pasuk. So Liznos, rather. Liznos Beis Avia. So this is a Pasuk that's found in the context of Nahar Murasa, who's Mizana. So the Pasuk says, Liznos Beis Avia. If she's Mizana, while in the house of her father still, she's not Murasa. Remember, Nahar Murasa, when they were in Erison, she still lived in her own father's house. It wasn't until 12 months later, until she got married, went to her husband's house. So if she's Mizana in her house, the house of her father, Prat Lishimaser Ha'av Lishluchebal. This excludes the case if the father already passed her on to the shluchim, even though she has not yet arrived to the house of the Baal yet, but she has left the house of her father. She's left Beis Aviyah, so therefore she's no longer included in the isser of the punishment of skila. She goes to the next stage of chenek. Gemara says, how do you know it's excluding that case of when she's maser av l'shluchei baal? Maybe ema prat l'shichenichnesa l'chuppah v'lo nivla. Maybe it's talking about a different stage when she was already handed over. She went into chuppah. She had a chuppah with a baal, but she didn't have bia yet. Maybe that's the stage. Remember, we have a few different stages. She's engaged in the house of her father. There's skila. She's being moser over, passed on to get to the chuppah, but not chuppah yet. Then there's chuppah, and then there's bia. So there's three stages. When there's bia at the end, there's chuppah, and when there's bia, certainly she's eshes ish. The question is the two middle areas, the mesira to the shluchim and the chuppah without bia. Which of those areas, which of those cases is it excluding? So Gemara says, maybe it's really excluding the further case when she's already in chuppah before bia. That's the case where she gets chenek. But maybe when it's mesirah l'baal, when the baal is mosir l'shluchei baal, maybe at that stage she's still considered an extension of beis aviyah and should still get tzkil. Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava responds back to this, Amar li Ami, chuppah behed yaksiva. No, chuppah is explicit. There's no need to exclude a case of chuppah. That's certainly included in the case of chuppah, of chenek. How do we know this? Ki yeh nara besula morasa, says the pasuk. These were the situation. These are the details needed when to apply skila. She has to be a nara, she has to be a basula, and she has to be morasa leish. So what do we learn from these three words? Nara lo bogeris. If she's a bogeris, so she doesn't get skila anymore. If she's a basula, but velo beula, only if she's a basula. If she's a beula, she doesn't get skila. And morasa v'lo nesua. If she's engaged, she gets skila. But if she's married, meaning we'll see what that means in a second, she does not get skila either. So my nesua. What does it mean that she's married? Ilema nesua mamish. If she mamisha married chuppah and bia and everything, hainu basula v'lo beula. That's excluded from one of the words we already mentioned. She has to be a basula to be getting skila, not a beula. So what we learn from the words of morasa cannot be nesua mamish because nesua mamish, which is chuppah and bia, is already learned out from the words basula. So what are we learning from the words murasa v'lo nesua? Elav shenichnas alachuppah v'lo nivala. We learn from the word murasa that only if she's engaged, but if she's married, she's chuppah, but no bia yet, then she doesn't get skila either. So what do we learn from the word liznos beis avia? It must be referring to the other gray area, namely when she's moser l'shluchei abal. Okay, so that concludes mem chesam beis. So going to the top of mem tesam and aleph, continuing. So maybe Ema suggests the following. Hecha de hajul bei nasa hajul milsa kamaisa. So let's say her father gives her over to shluchei baal, so she's on the way to go meet her husband, and then she says, you know what, I don't want anything to do with this. She goes back to her father's house. She wants to wait a little bit further. Maybe if she goes back to her father's house, she's going to go back to the halachic status of being a nar ras and get skila. Because right now we're assuming the moment the father hands her over to shluchei baal, she's ready in the journey to get to her husband, she already has a din of chenek. But if she turns back around and lives in her father's house for a few more months, maybe she should go back to the halacha of skila, Or that she really
Is still talking about the halacha skila or about the din of the ketubah and the nedunia? Still speaking about, you know,
I believe so, yeah.
Notes.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's a the top Rashi in the page. I'm not going to go through it, but if you look at the last line of that Rashi, see if im zinsa tehes beskila. We're concerned with the punishment. So if she leaves the house of her father on the way to meet her husband, so she gets chenek. But the question is, what if she turns back around and she goes back to her father's house? Maybe she should go back to getting skila. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, hahu kvar paska tanit be Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel already paskin on the shaila. What does he tell us? The tanit debe Rabbi Shmuel, the neder almana v'grusha, kol asher asra al nafsha, yokum ola. There's a pasuk that appears in the end of Sefer Vayikra, right? Behar b'chukosai. No, actually, I'm wrong. Matas masay. The end of Sefer Bamidbar, that when neder and almana grusha, that a widow or a divorcee takes a neder, whatever she takes a neder on is going to be established because there's nobody to be made for nedarim. If she's a young girl, her father in theory can. If she's married, her husband can. This is a situation where nobody, she's not married or considered a daughter of anybody, she's not attached, nobody can be made for her nedarim. So any neder she says is going to be final. So the Gemara wants to know, ma tam lomer, what's the chiddush of this pasuk? Halo motzas mechal av umutzas mechal bal. She already left the house of her father because she already got married. And now she's divorced or widowed. She already now left the house of her husband. There's nobody else to be made for Nadarm, so the pasuk seems to be pretty obvious. So what do we learn from this pasuk? Ella, it must be a situation. Hareisha maser ha'av l'shluchei ha'bal, o she maser shluchei ha'av l'shluchei ha'bal, v'nis alman l'abaderech o v'nis garsha. So it must be a situation where she actually didn't get married yet. If she got married and then divorced or widowed, it's pashut. There's nobody to take care of her. It's a situation where she didn't get married yet, but her husband, her father, handed her over to the shluchei habal. So now she's in this limbo status, and on the way, her husband dies. So you would think, since she never actually got married yet, she still has strings attached to her father, and maybe her father should be able to make for nedarim.
But it says, nitamila o nitgarsha. How can she get divorced if she wasn't under chuppah?
You get divorced from Erison, though. You can't get divorced from Erison yet.
You need to get divorced.
Right. So her husband could send her a divorce.
Actually,
to get... So the Gemara continues to explain the Braisa. So what's the situation here? Heyach ani kore ba. How do I refer to her? Beis avia shazu or beis baila shazu. Is she the house of her father or the house of her husband? Ela lomar lacha. This tells me that kaven shiyotza sha'achas mirshus ha'av. If there's just one moment where she leaves the status, the control, the rishus of her father, shuv enu yachol lahafer, the father loses the ability to be made for nedarim. Even though she never actually entered into her husband's rishus entirely yet, the father loses status. So to here, when it comes to halacha, the moment the father hands her over to the shluchei baal and she decides to come back around, she has the din of chenek still. She's not considered, she cannot go back to the halacha of skila. Once she leaves the father's house, b'sha'a achas, shuv eino yachol lahafer or lachzor.
But why would care if, you know, if she's in touch, she's not with him, and she's not, you know, she's not with Zane. She has a free will now. She's not attached to anybody.
No, if the situation is, no, she's engaged. Right now she's engaged to her husband.
Yeah.
Her father hands her over to Shluchei Baal. And on the way, she's Mizana. So she's attached to the husband, Midin Erison.
And then she left.
Right, but since she left the house of her father, she's no longer considered Liznos Beis Avia.
This is the reason she was in Galsha, because she's Zinta.
Let's say it wasn't. Let's say he decided he didn't want to marry her anymore.
Yeah.
Even not. So the moment that the father hands her over to Shluchei Baal, even though she's not married yet, we see in two situations right now, she does not have the din of Beis Avia, that she has the din of Chenek, can never go back to the din of Skila, and also the father loses his ability to be Mefer Nedarim. Okay. Gemara now says, Amra Papa Rapapa says, Af Ananani Nami Tanina, this is a Tanina double nun, tells us it's a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that appears in Sanhedrin. Rapapa says, I also have a source that tells me that once you leave the house of the father, you can never go back. What does the Mishnah tell us in Sanhedrin? Haba al nara marasa einu chayev ad shete nara besula marasa v'hi bevesavia. The only way that a person gets skila for being engaged, if she's a nara, 12 to 12 and a half, if she's a besula, and she's a marasa, and number four is that she's in the house of her father. So Mishnah nara v'lobogaris, I understand the case of nara.
Otherwise she would get chenek.
Otherwise she would get chenek, exactly. So Gemara wants to know, how do we know this from the Mishnah, that it's excluding a case of being Moshe l'shluchei baal, that once the husband, father, hands her over to shluchei baal, she's no longer considered Beis Avia. So the Gemara explains as follows. Bishma Nara, I know, understand why Nara is a criteria v'lo bogeres. But if she's above the age of 12 and a half, she does not have the din of skila, only chenek. And besula, she has to be a besula v'lo bula, and mo'rasa v'lo nesua, those are also necessary criteria. Beis avia l'mutei mai. What's the case? Why does the Mishnah say the fourth requirement is that she has to be in the house of the father? Says the Gemara, my lav l'mutei maser av l'shluchei baal. It must be excluding a case that the father hands her off to the shluchei baal. She's no longer considered in the beis avia. That's the scenario where she no longer gets the din of skila, only chenek. That's the Raya Papa says from the Mishnah and Sanhedrin to prove our Gemara.
What was the din of Baba?
Of what?
What was the din for the guy that did the ila with his nara?
The
Eno,
no, Eno Chayv Skila. He gets Chenek, though.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Now, a Bulgaris Meurasa that was Zinta, she gets Chenek also.
Yeah.
It's only in the Ara that gets Skila.
Okay, only those 6 months, 12 to 12 and a half. Then the Gemara says, I'm going to bring another Raya, that being Moser the Bas L'Shluch Ebal is no longer considered Beis Avia. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak, Af Ananami Tanina, we also have a Mishnah. This Mishnah apparently appears in Sanhedrin as well. Haba al Eishes Ish. Kevin Shenichnas al Rishus Habal, Linesuin, Af Apish Lo Nivela, Haba Alea Harezu Ze Bechenek. So the Mishnah says that one who's Mizana with a married woman, that since she has entered into the Rishus of the Baal for Nisuin purposes, even though there has not yet been Bia, but simply, let's say, Chuppah, the Haba Alea, it gets Chenek. What do we learn from here? Rashi says, the last Rashi before the Mishnah.
This has to be talking about Nara, right? What does it say now?
This has to be talking about Nara. Let's see. Where Rashi says, Nichnasa l'rishus habal ba'alma, tanan, v'lo tanan ba, nichnasa l'chuppa. What's the Raya here? Inacious ish.
It doesn't matter if it's Nara or no, because it's not skila, because she's not Urasa anymore, she's a Zohar. So it's not connected to the Pasuk, so it's Chenek anyway.
Right, but I guess you could only make a diak here about a case of skila if it's talking about a Nara. But let's assume it's a Nara for a moment.
Even if it's Nara, yeah? It's not skila, no?
Well, right, this is not skila, this is a Chenek, but we're trying to make a diak in another case would be skila. So what's a diak here? Let's see.
This Mishnah lists the people who get chenek.
Mm-hmm. Ah, so that's the point. The Mishnah doesn't say that if she goes in chuppah, that she gets chenek, that she requires chuppah to give her the status of an eishes ish for chenek. It says, nechasa l'rishus. Even being moser l'shluchei abal would be considered enough of a rishus to get chenek. Had it not been nechasa l'rishus, had it not been moser l'shluchei abal, she would still be considered beis avia and then get skila.
So it has to be talking about Nara.
Right. Has to be Nara, but again, only but Nara, who's nechasa l'rishus, which would even include a case of moser l'shluchei abal.
Right.
Okay. The Mishnah now says, the new Mishnah, halfway down Mem Tesam and Aleph, tells us, Ha'av eno chai b'mizonos. Now we're entering into some new territory. The middle area of Ksubas is quite challenging. We're going to be darshaning a lot of Ksuba halachas. This text of Ksuba is challenging. These are the territory we're entering through right now. So the Mishnah, I think that's the first one we're seeing this. The Mishnah. Who? That, I'm not sure who, which individual, but the Gemara has the Mesorah how to write it, what to go on it, which tanaim are necessary. So the Gemara says, Ha'av eno chai b'mizonos bito. A father is not obligated to provide food for his own daughter. And Zem Midjus Darsh Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This was a drush Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah made. Lefnei Chachamim Bekerem Bayavna. So Rashi has an interesting historical background here. Rashi tells us, Zem Midjus Darsh Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, B'yom Shemanua Nasi. The day he became Nasi, he gave his opening drusha, inauguration drusha, and he made the following chiddush. Further, Rashi tells us, Bekerem Bayavna. Why is it called Kerem B'yavna? Al Shem Shahu Yoshvin Shuros Shuros B'Kerem. They would sit with lines. They had different rows. And the way it works, the Gemara tells in Sanhedrin, that depending how smart and how much you advance, you move to a closer row. And when somebody had been nifter in an earlier row, then they move up the seat. So it was like moving, musical chairs. So they had these rows. So since it looked like vines in a vineyard, so and these rows, that's why it was called Kerem B'yavna. The place was Yavna, Karen Biapna because they had rose. So the day that Reb Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi, he made the following drasha. What did he say? Habanim Yirshu, Habanos Yazunu. The sons inherit. This is one of the Tanaim listed in the Ksuba that after the father dies, that the sons are going to inherit the property. And one of the other Tanaim there in the Ksuba is that the daughters are going to get fed from the estate. They're going to get mizonos from the estate. So what's the drasha? He's darshaning the Ksuba. Mahabanim enu yarshim el alachar misas ha'av. Just like sons, you can only inherit after the death of the father. Afabanos ein nizonos el alachar misas ha'avin. So too, a daughter only gets provided food with after the father dies. But during the lifetime of the father has no obligation to feed his daughters.
It's going to be complicated, I can see.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So Rashi quotes the different texts of the Gemara. We'll see this in a few days from now. But the text exists in the Mishnah Daf Nun Beis.
Wasn't that Mishnah was previously somewhere?
It does sound familiar. If you did Babas of Kuflam Aleph, it comes up there.
No,
we were discussing the other day if the father has a chiyuv to.
With Adam, maybe, no?
No, we discussed it on Sunday. Yesterday morning we discussed it. If the father has a chiyuv to feed the daughter.
No, it was Mama Shel Tzimara.
I wasn't here.
In the Old School Mishnah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Gemara says now, Bibizonos bitahu de'eno chayiv. Ha mizonos b'no chayev. So the Diak the Gemara says, not so much as a question, phrase it as a question, it's really a statement. The Diak of the Mishnah is that only a daughter, he's not obligated to feed his daughter, but he is obligated to feed his son. That's the Diak from the Mishnah. Very strange. So Gemara says, again, mizonos bito hu deino chayev, ha mizonos b'no chayev. Bito nami chovo hu deleka. Even by a daughter, there's no obligation, ha mitzika, but there is a mitzvah. So what we're saying right now is that there's a chiv to feed the son, and there's a mitzvah only to feed the daughter. That's the dig from the Mishnah. So that being the case, which again would sound strange, one would think to have to feed the daughter more so than the son. We're going to see the svaras in a moment. So the Gemara writes, Mani Masnizin. Who authored this Mishnah? Well, it can't be Lo Rabbi Meir, Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. We'll see who these people are in a second. It can't be any of these three. Who are they? The Sani, the Braisa teaches us, Mitzvah Lazun Esabanos, Kal v'chomer lebanim, daski b'torah. Divrei Rebbe Meir. So Rebbe Meir says, there's a mitzvah to feed the daughters, like we made a dik from the Mishnah. There's not a chiv to feed the daughter, but there's a mitzvah to feed the daughter. And once there's a mitzvah to feed the daughter, kal v'chomer, there's a mitzvah to feed the sons, because the sons are osik in Torah.
What's the mitzvah?
I mean, what's the mitzvah written? What's the source?
Yeah.
How much of there's a source?
Because mitzvah
is
from the Kadosh Baruch
Hu. Yeah, how much of it's a mitzvah deraisa? Might just be mitzvah chachamim. I don't think it's a deraisa.
It would seem that it's not.
There'd be a source.
Before.
Right, I don't think it's a deraisa. Mitzvah chachamim to feed the daughter and kav chachamim to feed the sons because
that's the one in brackets. It doesn't tell you. Tam zed iske hatayra related to sefta chukah oka. Ketav rashbam b'vavas or whatever, no? Doesn't that help the brackets?
Let's see, are the Haggas b'tziyunim there? Let's see. The reasoning of iske b'tayra is not found in the Tosefta. Tosefta is apparently the original text of this price that we just brought. It doesn't mention the reasoning of Osik B'Torah, and the Rashbam and Bava Basra writes that Diske B'Raisa V'lo Yilisazu Perish Hu V'Eino Min HaBraisa. Apparently the Gemara here invoked that Svara. But what else would the Kal V'Chomer be? I mean, the Gemara says if there's a mitzvah to feed the daughter, Reb Meir holds, there's a Kal V'Chomer, there's a mitzvah to feed the sons. So the Gemara tells us the Svara is because they're being Osik B'Torah. Since they're Osik B'Torah, so what's this? Well, let's talk about that for a second. What would the Svara be just because they're Osik B'Torah? Why would that make it a Kal V'Chomer? It's either because they're Osik in a mitzvah, so you help them be Osik the mitzvah, or the Gemara tells us that a person who's Osik B'Torah gets weaker. So since he gets weaker, the Gemara Nedarim tells us maybe that we're supposed to give him further strength. He becomes very weak, and we have to feed him for that reason. But this reason, the Haggos V'Tzidum is pointing out, based on the Rashbam and the Tosefta, this reasoning of Osik B'Torah does not appear in the actual text of the Braisa. I'm not sure what other svara there might be. If there's a mitzvah to feed the daughter, Kal V'Chomer should feed the sons. I don't know. So that's all according to Rabbi Meir, that there's a mitzvah to feed both the daughters and the sons. According to Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mitzvah lazun es habanim, there's a mitzvah to feed the sons, the Kal V'Chomer levanos mishum zilusa. Because it's disgraceful. The daughters have nothing to eat. At least boys, if they have nothing to eat, they could at least work in the local grocery shop or the local restaurant, or could go from house to house asking for money. The Gemara is talking about this. But it's a big bizayon for a girl to go from house to house asking for money. So therefore, it's a mitzvah to feed the sons, kavachomer to feed the daughters. So both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are in agreement that there's a mitzvah to both feed daughters and sons. There's just a direction. Which one's more obvious is the machlokas. But it's an equal mitzvah to both sons and daughters. And then there's a third opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer, Chova lozun es habanos, la'achar mises avien. There's an obligation to feed the daughters after the father dies, aval b'chaye avien, eluv elu, enum nizonum. But in the life of the father, there's not an obligation at all, both for the father, for the son, and for the daughter.
Is it a mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah.
Ah, so well, no, it's a machlokas. But look at Rashi, a very important Rashi before I summarize the opinions again. See Rashi around 8 lines up. Eino nizonim, this last opinion, 7 lines up, eino nizonim, bottom right. Eino nizonim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says you don't feed them. Eino nizonim, afilu mitzvah ein kan. There's not even a mitzvah. Three opinions. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda both agree that there's a mitzvah to feed sons and daughters. Now, which one's more obvious? That's another machlokas, but we'll group them together for now. There's a mitzvah for sons and daughters. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says there's not even a mitzvah to feed sons and daughters. So now we're going to try to plug that into the Mishnah and see how the Mishnah does not fit with either one of these three. So the Gemara says, "So money masisin, who authored our Mishnah? If Rabbi Meir authored our Mishnah, ha'amar banu mitzvah." He said there's a mitzvah to feed the sons, and we made a dig from the Mishnah that there's a chova to feed the sons. Again, the Mishnah said there is no chiv to feed the daughters, but there's a mitzvah to feed the daughters, and there's a chiv to feed the sons. We're making both dukum at the same time. It's a chiv to feed the sons. Rabbi Meir says there's only a mitzvah to feed the sons, so Rabbi Meir couldn't author a Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, ha'amar banim nami mitzvah. We said Rabbi Yehuda also holds that there's an equal mitzvah to feed the sons. But our Mishnah, the dig from our Mishnah, is that there's a chiv to feed the sons. He couldn't have authored our Mishnah. And thirdly, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, afilu mitzvah nami leka. He holds there's not even a mitzvah to feed the sons and daughters. And our Mishnah said there's a mitzvah to feed sons and daughters. There's actually a chiv even to feed the sons. So who authored our Mishnah?
None of the three.
Gemara says, no, not true. Ibai zema Rabbi Meir, Ibai zema Rabbi Yehuda, Ibai zema Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. It's possible that either one of the three could have authored a Mishnah. How so? The way you read the Mishnah is as follows. Father's not obligated to feed the son, nor is he obligated to feed the daughter. It's not right. Father's not obligated to feed the daughter, nor is he obligated to feed the son. He doesn't have the obligation to feed any of his children. But there is a mitzvah, bebito, to feed the daughter, there's a mitzvah to feed the daughter, and kavachomer libanim, and there's a kavachomer to feed the sons as well, midin mitzvah.
So if there's a mitzvah, how can you know chayav?
There's two different things. There's a mitzvah to, let's say, wear tittis, but there's not a chiv to wear tittis. The chiv is if you wear four-cornered garments, then you have to put tittis on, but there's no chiv to put four corners on. There's a mitzvah you get. You have a mitzvah which is a reshus to mimikai. If I shech the animal, chulin animal. I get a mitzvah, I'm not obligated to shecht an animal.
If you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah and you're not doing the mitzvah, wasn't that, wouldn't be count as, you know?
No, only there's a chiv to do it. I have a chiv to shake the lulav. If I don't, I missed out on the opportunity. I missed a chiv. I have a chiv to shake the lulav. I have no chiv to shecht an animal. If I do shecht, but if I decide to shecht an animal, I'm going to get a mitzvah for shechting the animal.
Okay.
There's no chiv. There's no chiv to feed a son or a daughter, but if you want to, you're going to be mekayem the mitzvah chachamim of feeding children. So, reading it this way, our Mishnah is actually in agreement with Rabbi Meir that there is an equal mitzvah to feed a son and to feed a daughter. As the Gemara wants to know now, the very last line of the Amud, v'hod dekatani bito, so why did the Mishnah only say that there's no chiv to feed a daughter? It should have said there's no chiv to feed a daughter, and there's also no chiv to feed the son. Why did it only mention daughter? It confused us. So Gemara says, ha'kamash malam, this comes to teach us, zafilu bito chov ha'huduleka, ha'mitzvah ika. Because you would have thought that there should be a chiv to teach the son, to feed the daughter. Of course there's no chiv to feed the son. That's obvious. There's no chiv to feed the son. But you would have thought maybe there's a chiv to feed the daughter. Kamash v'lam, that even by a daughter there's no chiv, there's only a mitzvah. And that's why it emphasized the daughter only. But in Echanami, the halachas are the same, that there's only a mitzvah to feed the daughter and to feed the son, and Rabbi Meir could have authored our Mishnah. Ika Damri, Ika Ibai Zema. Alternatively, we could suggest that Rabbi Yehuda authored our Mishnah, same line of reasoning. V'hachi kamar. The way the Mishnah should be read is as follows. Ha'av einu chai b'mizonos bito. The father's not obligated to feed his daughter. V'kol shkein levno. And kavachomer does not have to feed his son either. But ha'mitzah b'vno ika. But there is a mitzvah to feed the son. V'kavachomer levno banos. There's also a mitzvah to feed the daughters. And the kavachomer is based on the zilusa. If there's a mitzvah to feed the son, kavachomer, there would be a mitzvah to feed the daughters, mishim zilusa. Ah, v'had the katani bito. So why did it only mention the daughter in the Mishnah? It almost confused us. Ha'kamash v'lam, da'afilu bito chov aleka. You would have thought maybe there's a chiv to feed the daughter. Kamash v'lam, there's no chiv, there's only a mitzvah to feed the daughter. But in the end of the day, after all the dust has settled, both of Yehuda and Rabbi Meir could reread the Mishnah to say that there's an equal mitzvah to feed the son as there is to feed a daughter, and either one of them could have authored our Mishnah. And finally, the third opinion is, Ibai Zema, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, V'achi Kamar. The way you read the Mishnah, according to him, is, Eino chayv b'mizonos bito, hu adin livno. There's no obligation to feed the son, a daughter, so too no obligation to feed the daughter. V'hu adin, so too da'afilu mitzvah na'mi lekin. There's not even a mitzvah to feed the sons and the daughters. Ah, so if there's no mitzvah to feed the sons and the daughters, why did the Mishnah say there's no chiv? It should have said there's no mitzvah to feed the daughter. Why did it use the lashon of chiv, which threw us off? Because after the death of the father, there's a chiv to feed them. So they also wanted to say, and being consistent, during the lifetime of the father, there is no chiv. But you know what? There's not only a chiv, there's not even a mitzvah to feed the daughters and sons during the chaye aviv. Okay, so that's the end of this discussion. So again, just to quickly review, the Mishnah says, Eino chayv bebito, Eino chayv bemezonos bito. We have a few ways to read that, and the Gemara concluded that it could have been one of the three, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan Broka, how to properly read our Mishnah, whether there's a mitzvah to feed children, or there's no mitzvah to feed children. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Eli, Amar Reish Lakish, Yishim Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Chanina, Beusha Hiskinu. In Usha was a place where many takanas were found. Gemaras and Baba Kama, rather, quote a lot of takanas Usha. Also in Ksubas, we're going to see in a moment, a number of takanas of Usha. So Rashi tells us three lines from the top here, Mem Tesman Beis, Beusha Hiskinu. Kishiyashu Sanhedre Gazis, Beusha. When Sanhedrin sat in Usha, Shehi Achas Me'eser Galiel, Shegalsa Sanhedrin, as it says in the end of Rosh Hashanah, that the Sanhedrin was exiled to 10 different places. And connected to that, the Gemara also says the Shekhinah was also exiled to 10 different places. So one of the places they were exiled to was in Usha. And when Sanhedrin sat in Usha, they made a number of takanas. And one of the takanas in Usha is as follows. Gemara says, again, Amar Rabbi Eli, Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Chinina, B'Usha Iskinu, in Usha they were Mesakin, Sheyehi Odom Zanetz Banov Vez Benosav. Even though Midiraisa, we said there's no obligation to feed children, we said even Midirbanon there's no obligation, and at best there's a mitzvah, they made a takana that one must feed their sons and daughters, kishehein ktanim. When they are minors, there's obligation. Ad sheviu saros is Rashi, until they mature. So Gemara wants to know, did we take this halacha? Was this accepted or was this not accepted? So I'm not sure the question really, because if Sanhedrin made such a takana, I'm not sure why it wouldn't be accepted. But still, nonetheless, I guess not all takanas ushas
the question
were.
So the question is, if it's true that in Usha really were the facts right? Yeah, yeah, the facts right.
As if it was in Usha, certainly it's going to be accepted. So that's right. Who explained that way? Because that's not the pashup shot of the Gemara. Because Hilchos HaKavah, it should have said imze maisa. I don't know the proper Aramaic term, but was it maisa correct or not? Hilchos HaKavah, it sounds like they paskin this way, but do we follow what they paskin? They don't say who says that? Who interprets it that way?
It's Rashi says it.
Rashi does? Oh.
Mehadura kama. Uvash b'shitat mekubetzes.
Ah, okay. Shinid mekubetzes explains this. I wonder if anybody reads this at face value. Not seeing anything in the back here. Okay. Fine. So Gemara says, so was this accepted halacha as an obligation to feed the children when they are ketanim? So Gemara brings a raya tashma. Ki hava asa l'kame der Yehuda. When they came, I'm not sure who they are.
Avot ha-mesarvim lazun et bnehem uva'im ladim.
Okay. Certain fathers who were refusing to pay their children, to provide food for the children, they came to Rav Yehuda. Amr Lahu, Rav Yehuda says to them, Yarod Yalda Uvavne Masa Shadya. So what's a Yarod? Look at Rashi. Rashi tells the Yarod is a tanin, a tinin, a serpent, a snake of some sort. And Rashi says, Maun tanim mitargamin madur yarudin, the pasuk in Yirmiyah that uses Aramaic, that for a tanin, yarudin is the Aramaic term for tanin. Who achzari albanav, they don't really care so much about their children. So he basically says to you guys are snakes, and you're expecting the city to support your children. You're trying to teach them, give them some mussar to go home, and you're supposed to feed them. So this I think it goes back to, sometimes there's halacha and then sometimes there's principle. Even though halachically they're correct, if they learn the Mishnah, they say, what do you mean? The Mishnah Ksuba tells me that I have no obligation to feed my children. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, you go through the whole sugya, there's no obligation to do this. He says, you're right, but sometimes there's what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. You're right, you can find a psak that it's okay for women to wear tefillin, but at the same time, not everything that is what strict halacha is supposed to be implemented.
You can find that.
Sure, yeah. Right? Yeah. There's certainly a halachic basis for this, but no one who knows anything about passing shahs would ever permit it to be done. But there's a halach on this principle. So this is a situation where halachically we're right, but in principle that's not what we do. We're Am Yisrael, we're Rachmanim, and we feed our children. So then the Gemara goes on to say, Kihava also lakam midir Rav Chista. Then, I'm not sure, the same individuals or people like them went to Rav Chista. They're looking for another psak. Does it say the same people or different people?
Same?
Same kind of person. Yeah. It's a different story. They went to Rav Chista now. So Rav Chista said, Amar lehu, kafulei asita b'tzibura. Go flip over an asita. Rashi tells us asita. Does he say anything here? A grinder or something like that, right? Machtesh is a grinder.
A
mill?
Yeah. It's a mill.
Yeah, like a, not a windmill, a wheat mill. It's not you grind wheat in.
Right.
Flip it over. And then in the tzibur, in public, in the shuk maybe, vilekem, and stand up, vilema, and say, urva bai baner, vahu garvalo bai baner. Go out in the marketplace, I guess, to these people. Even ravens have rachmanis on their children, and these people don't have any interest in having children, or at least feeding their children.
Meaning, you know what the story with the
Yeah, the Gemara's about to quote that pasuk.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, very good.
Right.
Beautiful. So the Gemara says, the arva bai banel, the ravens, they want children. How could live ne orv yasher yikrow? Right, the pasuk says, and to the children of the ravens that they call out, because they're calling out. No one's feeding them. They're calling for help. They need food. The Gemara in Erev also talks about this.
You know why they don't feed them, the mothers? Because they're white. So they think that they're not theirs. When they get out of the egg, they're white. And the wave is black.
Oh, yeah?
So they think that it's not belong to them. So
the Gemara's going to talk about white versus black in a second. How do you know that's what they say? That's a scientist explain this?
It says in Chovat HaLevavot, you know, Bitachon, Shara Bitachon. So it gives an example of Bitachon Moshe, so it gives this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that? Do you know if that's true? That's how they explain also the zoologists or whoever do this?
It just...
Now that it makes a difference, Chovat HaLevavot says this, he says this. That's fascinating. I never knew that.
Yeah.
So Gemara says, wait a second. The pasuk tells us, Levnei Ori Vashay Yikra'u, that the ravens are calling out for help for food because nobody's feeding them. Their parents left them. And David explains, because they look different. We're black and you're white. You're not our children. So the ravens don't have rachmanos on their children. It says the Gemara, Lokasha ha b'chivari ha b'uchmi. Depends if they're white or versus black. So before we Rashi, according to what David's explaining, if the birds are born black, so then they're going to have rachmanos. The parents will feed them because they look like their children. If they're born white, so that's when they don't have rachmanos.
Rashi
says exactly what he said.
Yeah, so let's see.
Yeah.
So Rashi says, Ochme are kishagodol machshu. When they get older, they become black. Va'ein va'av ohav mosan. They love them. Aval mitchilason levanim v'sonim osam. At first, so all ravens, not white versus black, but when they're all born or hatched, I guess when they hatch, so then they're initially white, and the parents have no rachmanis because they look like they're not their children. Once they get older and turn black, then the children they take have rachmanis on them. So very good, beautiful. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Kiava also the Kamei de Rava. So these similar types of people who had no rachmanos on their children to feed them, they went to Rava now. Amar le Rava says to them, Nichalcha demizane bonecha mitzadaka. Would you prefer them to just go around getting money supported from tzedakah? Is that in a question form? Okay, would you prefer that? So then, v'lo amran ella d'lo amud. This is only true if they did not assess Rashi she'inu ashi, if he wasn't rich. Aval amud, if he was wealthy, the parents were wealthy, kafinulai al karche. We don't just say, would you rather them get tzedakah? We actually force for them. We take money from their, however they have access to their bank account, we make them pay for it, or we hit them until they're willing to pay for them. Right, so Rashi explains, see Rashi bal karcho, lo yehei ela tzedakah balma, v'afilu einam banav. It becomes only tzedakah now. There's no mitzvah to feed their children. But now the children are left alone and no one to feed them, so there's obligation for people to give tzedakah to them. So we force the parents to give the tzedakah that they have to give tzedakah to their own children. Kiyad Rava, just like a situation once happened, that Rava, kafya l'Rav Nasan bar Ami, he had forced Rav Nasan, Rashi's out tzedakah, he forced him to give tzedakah. V'apik minei, dalin mea zuzei l'tzedakah. He forced him to pay 400 zuz of tzedakah. So it's pretty interesting. Rav Nasan had the title of Rav. He's not feeding. He wasn't giving tzedakah. Is that what's being implied here? Rav Nasan didn't give tzedakah. Maybe. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah, sure. He was wealthy. Rav Nasan Barami.
Uh huh. And he didn't. He wasn't willing to give tzedakah to his own children. Let's see.
No, but this is talking about Anim.
Stamanim.
No, it's his kid.
Wow.
No. Meaning, this is a kalachomer. They took away money from him for poor people. So what's saying here is that if you force somebody else to give tzedakah to poor people, kalachomer, you should give it to kids, to your own kids.
But it's still a pella that he didn't, Rav Nasan didn't give tzedakah, right, that he needed to be forced on. There's a great tosos here. Let's look at this tosos quickly. I know we're running out of time, but let's see if we get this tosef in quickly. Akvei Rava, Rava forced upon to give tzedakah. Vim tomar, hey akafo, so how could you force a mishvil tzedakah? Haksiv matan schar betzida. It's written next to the mitzvah tzedakah. It lists the reward that you get for giving tzedakah. Dechsiv yivarecha v'am yivarecha. And you get this whole bracha for giving tzedakah. V'arminim v'per kol basen g'mar chulin kol mitzvah aseh shematan schar betzida ein besin shamata muzhar nalav. Whatever, getting the reason behind this, but whenever there's a mitzvah say that tells us the reward you get for it, there's no ability that Basin cannot force upon it. So tzedakah has a schara written next to it. How was Basin able to force Rav Nasan to give tzedakah? He didn't force him with malchus. He forced him with, he convinced him. He encouraged him strongly to give tzedakah. That's what it means. Inami. Katu b'neim b'ne'ir lasis kach v'kach l'chodesh. It's a situation where they had a set amount of tzedakah each family had to give per month, and that type of tzedakah, it wasn't the tzedakah of the Torah, it was a set established amount from the town which is able to be enforced by Bezdin. And thirdly, it's different. A stam mitzvah that has matan schar nichta mitzvah, that you can't force. But since tzedakah has two lavim also, it's a different than a regular mitzvah aseh. Since that's two lavim, you are allowed to force on tzedakah in particular. Okay. Fine. Vayta in the Gemara. Now, Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Eli, Amar Reish Lakish Busa, Hiskinu, in Usha, there were other tekanas that were established as well. What were they? Hakosev kol nechasev levanov, someone who writes all his properties off to his children, hu v'ishto nizonim mehem. He and his wife, Rashi says, when they're still alive, hukayim, Velu banav heim lo tziu maos ela matanab alma. So what are we saying here? I might have read the wrong Rashi, I think. Sorry, different Rashi. Hu v'isho nizona mehem, higher up, afilu kasvam me'achshav lo benadin ela takanas chachamim. Even though he writes off all his property off to his sons, if they're still alive, the father and the wife are able to still get from the property. That was a takana. So maskiv, I'm not sure why one would do that, write all his property off to his sons while he and his wife are still alive. But if one were to do that, Takanas Usha is that they get to still use the property until they die. Maskiv la Rabbi Zei Rabbi Seim, Rabbi Yishmael Bar Nechmani, Gedol Mizu, greater than this, Amru Almanasa Nizones Minichasev. So we say that an Almana, a widow, is allowed to use this, get money, get supported from this property that was written off to the son. So Huvi Ishto Mibayilei. So is it needed to teach me that if the father and wife themselves were alive, is that necessary to teach me? Certainly that would be allowed as well. Looking at Rashi for a second here. Right, Rashi explains, if after the father dies, we're now, it's ready to be Yerusha to the sons, we still allow Almana to get from the Yerusha to the sons. So certainly when there's no Yerusha just yet, certainly when the father writes it off to the son, certainly he and the wife were able to get Hana, get Mizonos from this property. So the Gemara says, Deshalach Rabin Bigarte, Rabin sent off in a letter, Mishame, someone who dies, V'niach Almana, leaves over a widow, Ubas, and a daughter, Almanasa Nizonos Minechasiv, the Almana gets provided food from the estate, Nises Habas, if the daughter gets married, Almanasa Nizonos Minechasiv, and, wait, am I misreading this?
It seems to be a very, very, very complicated case. Because that the Gemara is clearing that in a case where the father sold the property, then the Almana cannot be Yoresh from the Lekuchos. However, she can be Yoresh she can be fed from the Yerusha.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know why it's clearing. It's a very long explanation.
Let's look at this Rashi here for some clarification here. Rashi tells us, you see, Gedolim Mizu Amru, around halfway down.
Mm-hmm.
Rashi tells us that Gedolim Mizu Amru could go in Almana Ubas Vinisis Abbas. So there's an Almana, and then there's a daughter, and the daughter gets married. Shafa Pishu Mace, even though the husband, father dies, Vanichasim in the Shtabdu Lokach, and the property is already, there's a lien to the Lokach, the Rabbanim. Kigon Baal Benichse Ishto, and the Baal has a certain lien on the property of the wife. Vakai Malon, Ein Motzin Lemazon Haisha, Minichasim Mishubadim. You cannot feed the wife from properties that have liens on them. Afil Hachi, Heicha de Leka, Lemecha Shatikin Olam, Kigon Kihai Lokach, so this situation where there's concern of tikkun olam, then we could view them as a yorish. What's this Rashi saying here? I don't need your help here. Try to get the scenario here, the case.
Right, what happens is because of tikkun ha'olam, because I guess that people shouldn't be scared to sell the nechassim. Sheim nekru nechassim ein almana yochola od ligvot mehem et mezonota. Meaning that once he sold it, even though we could say she should be able to be fed.
No, but okay, this is not sold. These are nechassim mishubadim.
Well, it's similar. Here it says specifically, "Sheim nimkeru hanechasim, en almana yochola od ligvot mehem et mezonoteh." Uvmi shnei gitim, "Shenimta sheleinyan ze yafe kocho shel halokeach mikocho shel hayoresh, shealmana gove mezonoteha min hayoreshim, aval lo min halekuchim, lo min halekucha."
I got it. I got it.
Od yesh leakdim shemishna shemishenisa adam isha harei hu zoche zechuyot shonot benichsei ishto.
Right, so this is the case. The case is where there's a daughter and there's a wife, an almana. The husband and father die. Now the nechassim go to the bas. She's not married yet, and that nechassim is the almana is able to get nizones from the nechassim. Now when the daughter goes ahead and gets married, she takes that nechassim with her that she just was yoresh. She gets married. Now the baal becomes a lokeach in that property that she brings in. He has ownership, he has a certain lien, a certain rights to that property. Still, nonetheless, the almana, who's completely out of the picture now, is able to get supported from that nechassim, which now went to the daughter, and now there's a shibud from the side of the husband. She's still able to get from the baal. The almana still could get nizones from the property that's
Right.
Somewhat owned by the husband now. That's what it's referring to. So the Gemara is trying to prove from there, if that's the case, it's so far that Almana can still get provided, even though it went to the daughter, now to the husband. Certainly in a case where the husband and wife give it to the son,
they should be able to
get supported from that property. That's the kasha. Looks like we have 3 minutes. Let me see if we can get a little bit further now. So again, let's take it one more time. The Shalach Rabin Big Rosesh, Rabin sent in a letter, Misha Meis V'Niach Almano Bas. Person died, he left over a wife and a daughter. Almanasa Nizonenes. So the Almana gets supported. Let's say now the Nisei Tabas, the daughter goes and gets married. The Baal now has a Shibud. Almanasa Nizonenes Minichasav. She still, the Almana still gets to be supported from the Nechasav. Meis Tabas, now the daughter dies. And the husband has a certain Shibud. What happens to the Almana? Rabbi Yehuda ben Achosa, Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, there's once a Maisa that I was experienced. V'amru, and they said the Chachamim Paskin Amanaso Nizones Minuchasav. So even though the daughter died, even after the daughter died, she's still getting the fed from the, I guess her son-in-law, it would seem to be her son-in-law's property. So if that's the case, who v'ishu mibarilei? You have to teach me that if the father and son kol nechasa, they write kosev kol nechasa to banav. Certainly there, that the mother is able to get provided food from those properties. It's much closer than the distant case of the amana to the son-in-law. So Gemara says no. Mal the same. What would you have thought from that case? Hasam huduleka de tarach. There's no tircha involved. The balhacha the nitrach l'didei v'lidida kamashvlan. Over there, there's no tircha. What do you mean? Rashi tells us the last four lines. Hasam huduleka de tarach kamei. Shemais baila. So the husband died. L'hachi avdi rabbanan takanta. Because there they made a takana. Val hacha here, dekai iu, nitrach lididei v'lidida kamashvlam. Over there with the husband and wife, right off to the property to the sons, and the husband dies, there's no real tircha going on. But here, where the almana has to be matriach the bas, and the baal now, there's a lot more individual involved, I guess. It's a little bit more sticky. Maybe there you wouldn't think she's allowed to still get... No, that can't be what the svar is. That can't be what it's saying.
הוא שאלמנה ניזונת מירשת הבעלה, אף על פי שכבר נכנסו רשת הבעלה, משום דלי קטירך שאין מי שיתריח עבוד אלמנה לפרנסתה, שהרי מת בעלה.
No, he might see her.
Right. Meaning, there's nobody else.
She's alone. She's an almana. She's an almana. Her husband's still alive.
שאהב נתן את נכסה לבניו, אולם נאמר שכיוון שבעליו קיים, her husband's still there.
Yeah.
He should be
able to feed her.
Right.
Okay, beautiful. Okay, tough last, the Brysa.
Yeah. Okay, I know it's